what we've been covering the last 3 weeks, as you can see, the illusion. And it's been a series about talking about identity, what we are marked by, what defines our life. And we've discussed how at times we create this illusion of who we are for others, so they only see what we want them to see. We discussed some specific ways that we do this, about how we can deal with the different illusions we try to create, such as dealing with failure, dealing with our own pain, and finally, dealing with comparison and insecurity. I don't know about y'all, I think a common question is, hey, which of these three do I identify with most? But if I'm being honest with myself and with you guys, man, all three of those things constantly are a part of my life. I constantly deal with whether or not I can fail or succeed at certain things. And there's pain all throughout, whether it's something in my own life, actions I faced, or with family or with friends. And finally, comparison and insecurity. Constantly. But what we've rested in, what we've talked about specifically, is that we believe the following to be true, is that your identity decides your direction. Who you are determines what you do. Okay? Your identity decides your direction. Who you are determines what you do. And the truth that we've been able to rest in is that we are a child of God. If we've accepted Christ into our heart and have relationship with him, we are a child of God. A child of God. In The Lion King, we see Simba in three main phases. As a lion cub when he's all cute and little. As an adult lion hanging out with Timon and Pumbaa way, way, way far away from the Pride Lands. And finally, whenever he returns home to face Scar. And we're going to focus on just the last two phases of his life. Because we very easily can see how Simba's identity determines his direction. When we first see adult Simba, he's far away from his home. He's out kind of in the jungle, if you will, and he's hanging out with a warthog and a meerkat. Okay, first off, if you know what a warthog and a meerkat is, they're not like very normal animals, if you will. They're just kind of like random animals, which plays into the factor of how kind of crazy we catch up with him is, how the scene is crazy. And it's because his identity is what is marking him. In that time of his life, if you've seen the movie, if not, spoilers, and you got to see the movie, but I'm going to share it anyways, you know that he's marked by shame and guilt. Simba ran away because he believes that he was the one who caused his father's death. So he runs away from that. Because he believes that, because he identifies with that, it decides and determines his direction. And his direction is to run away. To run away from the shame and guilt that he feels. But the turning point happens in that clip. After Simba has spent all this time with Timon and Pumbaa, embodying this no worries kind of mindset with that great song, he encounters Rafiki here in this scene. And this is when the turning point happens, particularly when Mufasa appears in the clouds with that godlike voice and everything changes. Notice, though, Mufasa doesn't just say, "Simba, you didn't kill me, it was actually your uncle." Although that would have cleared things up, that's not what he says. He specifically says, "Remember who you are." He just says that. Simba's like looking for answers. He's looking for direction. He's trying to figure out what should he do. He's embodied by shame and guilt. And his father just says, "Remember who you are." And that changes everything. Because by remembering who he is, he realizes he's the son of the king. And his king has passed, his father has passed, and he remembers that it's very clear to him in that point, because of his identity, remembering who he is, the son of the king, that he needs to return home and face Scar. He has to face whatever is waiting him there, which we see is Scar, and blah, blah, blah. He defeats Scar. We get to the end. It's a very, very big battle scene, and he defeats him. Okay? But the point is this. that when he encountered his father, Rafiki encounters his father in the cloud, his identity decides his direction. It determines what he went to do. And we believe that that is the same for you and I. The same is true for us. And that's why we want to hammer that home today at the end of this series. Your identity is found in something much, much richer than anything else you could try to place it in. As a child of God, we can place our identity that we are a child of God because of what Christ did for us. And it's really cool to see, if you guys know in Scripture, some of the writers in the New Testament, we see how they introduce themselves in this way. You see it a lot here in the New Testament, particularly with people with Paul and James and Peter. And we've got a couple of examples here that I'm going to show on the screen. As in Galatians 1:1, Paul says this. This is the first verse of the book, he says, of the letter. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And finally, the last one's a little bit longer, but Paul in Romans, he starts this way. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, the last one's a little long, I'll admit. I mean, could you imagine introducing yourself to someone in that way? It's a little long, and it'd probably be a little awkward, but truthfully, Paul is literally communicating the gospel in the way that he introduces himself. And guys, we don't have to do it this long, but this is great for a letter. But look at these introductions. We can go back to the other slide that has more to look at. And it says, they could have introduced themselves as just saying, like, the guy that was with Jesus, you know, or like if you have people like Peter. Peter walked with Jesus, okay? He was one of the three people that got to go and see, like, the presence of God, okay? Peter was literally renamed by Jesus himself. So Peter could have been like, hey, I'm Simon Peter. Jesus literally renamed me the Rock. I walked alongside him, but he didn't. He said, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul had a big transformation, right? He encountered Jesus in the road. Paul could have said a number of different things. Paul could have been like, hey, I'm Paul. I'm the guy that's traveled literally everywhere to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Or in Romans, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And James is literally could have been like, hey, me, Jesus' brother. Like, I'm Jesus' brother, so I have kind of a sense of authority there. But no. Even James, a servant of God. Guys, they identify themselves as servants of Christ. In their introductions, they make clear where their identity is found. We don't read the beginning of these letters and question who are these people speaking on behalf of. We read them and right away we know exactly where their identity is found. It's found in what Christ has done. How he was raised from the dead, and after he had paid the penalty that they deserve, that we deserve, these guys devoted their lives to Christ and lived in an identity of being a servant of Christ. Each and every one of you, having accepted Jesus into their heart, knowing Jesus as your Savior and Lord, can walk around identifying as a servant of Christ. A servant of God, because that is who you serve. That is who you are in relationship with. We can rest in this identity. But here's the truth, guys. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't always do a very good job of that. I personally, when we were talking about this topic, I realized that a lot of times my identity is probably in the fact that I'm self-sufficient, or I often tell myself that I can do this on my own. If you were to look at my life and my life were to tell you, hey, what does Ryan really identify in? It would probably be that. Ryan identifies and lives and embodies the fact that he can do everything in his own strength. That's what I see him do. And guys, that may be the same for some of you. It may be different for some of you. But the truth is, we can be identified by a number of things. Right now, a couple of leaders are going to start passing out cards to you. Okay? Everyone's going to get a little card. On these cards are two questions. It says, what would your life say your introduction is? Okay, if you were writing a letter, what would your life say your introduction is? If it was me, my life would say self-sufficiency. And the second question is, what could your introduction be? What should it be? What would you prefer it to be? What could your introduction be? These are two prompts we want you guys to think about. You don't have to start writing yet. We're going to give you time for that. There's scripture on the card that you guys can reference, that you guys can read. But this is something we want you guys to spend some time thinking over. Spend some time praying over. What would your life say your introduction is? And what could your introduction be?